Hi everybody, I'm Terry Brown and this is Bass Fan Radio. And not too long ago at Kentucky Lake, a young man by the name of Anthony Gagliardi took the world by storm and won an FLW Tour event. And with me today is Anthony Gagliardi, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, nice to be here.
Well, I guess the first thing on the list is, you know, Anthony Gagliardi has been fishing for a long time, but maybe not a lot of people know about you. And let's take care of first things first. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your fishing background and a little bit about what's going on.
I've been fishing for really as long as I can remember, as long as I was able to hold a fishing rod in my hand. They tell me that's what I always wanted to do whenever I had the chance. I probably started fishing tournaments when I was around 12 years old, maybe 12 or 13 years old. And just as soon as I got into it, I mean, I absolutely fell in love with it, just the whole competition aspect and being able to enjoy the outdoors. And it's just, I've loved it from the very beginning. And so I continued fishing throughout school, throughout high school. And actually, I went to Clemson University and majored in mechanical engineering. And I tried to fish during that, and it was difficult. And I fished the co-angler side on the FLW. I believe it was my sophomore year. And I fished the whole trail, finished like 26th in the points, and had a good year. But the next year, I couldn't take off school, and I only got to fish like 4 tournaments out of the 6. So didn't make it too far up in the points. But after that, I graduated, got my degree, and had to make a decision whether or not I wanted to pursue bass fishing or pursue a degree or take my degree in mechanical engineering and go that route. So my dad, he kind of helped me with my decision, and he put the money up for me to fish my first year, and just kind of took off from there. I did well enough, I was able to pay him back and make a little bit of money for myself. So I decided, well, I can try it again another year. And it kind of escalated, and each year I did a little bit better, and finally this year I kind of broke loose, I guess you could say, and now it seems like I made the right decision.
Well, you know, you can tell by your accent you're from South Carolina, but the funny thing about that, Anthony Gagliardi sounds like a New York or a Northeast name, and I guess you've got some roots back there.
I do. My dad's family's from Ashland, New Britain, Connecticut. He was born in New Britain and moved to Greensboro, North Carolina. He was raised in Greensboro, but his family's from up there, and his dad's actually full Italian, so I have a little bit of Italian blood in me.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you had a great event at FLW at the Kentucky Lake event, and, you know, it was really a mixture of patterns. You know, guys were flipping bushes, they were throwing Senkos, they were fishing shallow. Some people were starting to find the fish had moved out fishing the ledges, but you had a kind of a unique pattern that you found, and you were able to run a few little spots and keep that thing going to win the championship.
Right. There was a mixed bag of anglers in the end, and when I went there, my whole game plan from the beginning was to set up a deep cranking pattern. I mean, that's what I wanted to do before I even got there. When we were there last year, I had some success cranking, and I didn't do that well in the tournament, but I had some bad luck and lost a lot of fish. And I did well enough that when I came back this year, I knew that was going to be my shot if I was going to have a shot to do well. So from the very beginning, I started doing that in the first day of practice. I caught them really good. I found 3 or 4 places that the fish were really on, and that gave me all the confidence that I needed to just dedicate my whole practice to finding fish doing that, and that's what I did. And probably 2 of the 7 days that I practiced, I didn't catch any fish, but I knew that if I stuck with it, that if I could only find 1 or 2 places a day that were holding concentrations of fish, that in the end it would be worth it. So that's what I stuck with.
Well, you know, it's amazing in the springtime in particular, you know, fish kind of school a little bit. You know, they stay together.
Right.
They find bunches of fish, and if you find those bunches, success follows, doesn't it?
That's right. And some of the places that I were fishing had both pre-spawn and post-spawn fish. I'd caught several really big fish on one spot that I know were pre-spawn females. I mean, I had places that were holding fish that were coming both ways. I mean, they were coming in off the river stage and getting ready to move in and spawn. Then they were also holding fish that were done spawning, and they were coming out staging and getting ready to move back out into the main river. So I really had best of both worlds going for me. Yeah. I had places that were adjacent to creeks or actually inside the creek mouths, and I also had places that were further out on the river on the actual ledges. And it seemed like during practice the places that I had the points and drops that I had that were closer to the creeks were better. And I caught more fish, caught better fish, but as the tournament progressed, those places that I had that were close to the creeks kind of faded away, and in the end, my 2 best places were actually on the river channel, I mean, out on the river ledge. So I tried to figure out why that was, and the only thing I could come up with is the fact that we had all that rain and overcast skies come in, the water came up, and I think maybe those fish that were on those points that were close to the creeks and close to the bank, they just moved back into the bank with the cloud cover and the water coming up, and the fish that were already committed to those deep water ledges, they stayed there for me. So that's the only thing I can come up with.
Well, let's talk about bait selection a little bit. You talked about deep cranking. Kind of give me an idea what you were throwing.
I caught 18 of the 20 fish that I weighed in on the Lucky Craft. It's a flat CBD20. It's a deep diving crankbait. And the other two that I weighed in, I caught dragging a tube. I was catching a couple fish in the morning, a couple smallmouth each morning, just throwing a tube and dragging it across a little shelf. But last 2 days, I didn't catch any. I didn't catch any smallmouth doing that. And the smallmouth that I did have came off that crankbait those last 2 days.
Well, it sounds to me like maybe you were in Kentucky Lake. Is that right?
Yeah, I stayed in Kentucky the whole time. I've actually never seen Barkley. I don't know what it looks like.
Well, I tell you what, if you like to flip bushes, you better go to Barkley.
But, yeah, I know.
But if you want to win tournaments, sound like you need to go to Kentucky. Now,
well, this time at least.
Well, you fished, the competition was pretty tough. You know, David Fritz, of course, led the event, for most of the event. And when you know about his pattern, he's also a deep cranker,
right,
and loves to throw the crankbait. But, you know, you had to kind of come from behind a little bit, and maybe that plays into your strategy pretty well.
Maybe a little bit. I knew that if I stayed consistent for 4 days that I would have a legitimate chance. And going into the tournament, I wasn't planning on catching 15 pounds a day, but, I mean, in the back of your mind, you almost know that if you catch 15 pounds a day for a four-day tournament, you're always going to be, right there in the end. So consistency was a big factor, I think, in me doing this well. I mean, I had 2 days. On the third day, I really could have weighed in a big stringer. I had a couple big fish. I had one about a 5-pound smallmouth jump off, and I lost a couple 4-pound largemouth, and so I really felt that I'd cost myself that tournament after that third day. I had so many big fish come off, and then to get into the weigh-in and see that it was still close, I knew I had some hope, but I really felt like I was going to have to probably catch 17 or 18 pounds on that last day to win. So out there on that fourth and final day, I really didn't have the pressure of feeling the wind right there in my grasp, because I really felt I was a few pounds short all day long. So I just concentrated on fishing and just tried to catch fish and didn't really worry about winning the tournament. And that may be the best thing in the end that could have happened to me, because I didn't have that right there at the back of my mind hanging over me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those ledges. You know, when you're fishing the ledges, and a lot of people maybe don't know exactly what a ledge is. You know, it's an area where water drops off into either the creek channel or maybe a little run in or something
right,
like that, a drain. Was there any structure at all on those creek channels that you were fishing?
There is scattered brush. I mean, a lot of the people that live on the lake, I mean, they know that they catch fish on these ledges, so they go around, and if they find a little jog or a turn in the ledge itself, that's where they'll sink brush, and you can fish along the ledge, and it seems like whenever you come to a place where it makes a little turn or a little point comes out, then that's where you'll hit some kind of cover. And a lot of my fish did come off those little places where I knew there was a brush pile, or there was something down there that I could hit with my crankbait, and I would catch a lot of my fish there.
Well, it sounds like electronics played very heavy in your decision making also.
They did, and I didn't look for as many places with my electronics as normal. I basically fished to find them. I mean, I would use my electronics to position myself in the right depth on the ledge, but I'd start on one end and just thoroughly fish it during practice. And if you find a little spot that had some fish, it seemed like that there was a good many there. So I'd mark it, and then I'd leave and continue fishing somewhere else, just to try to find another little spot like that.
Well, Anthony, I tell you what, if people didn't know the name Anthony Gagliardi before today, they're going to know it now. And with this FLW event, you know, that's really going to raise the bar for you. And I'm sure you're excited about the upcoming event at Lake Champlain and looking for the rest of the year.
Definitely. I needed the confidence boost, I believe. I've had a good year, actually. I started off really well, and I had one real bad tournament, and it kind of got me down. But this one, I needed this tournament to pick me up and put me back on track, and it's a different feeling after you've won. I mean, I've always felt like I was a good fisherman and I had a legitimate chance to do well. But once you win, it seems like then it just sheds a whole new light on the situation, and you realize you actually can win. So hopefully I'll be able to take that confidence into these next couple of tournaments and let it keep working for me. I'm looking forward to going to Champlain. That's a beautiful lake, and I caught them pretty good up there last year, and hopefully I can carry this momentum into that tournament and do well up there also.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.